This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cohen II, and with me, as always, is...
Sesame... Sesame seed on a bun, Big Mac, product placement, Edcarta.
Yeah, I was thinking, before we start this out, I need to go grab myself a can of Coca-Cola, head over and buy a Big Mac,
yeah,
and then do some shopping at Sears.
Maybe get a little bag of Skittles, you know, in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some Dos Equis. Yeah. So, speaking of Coke, somebody was on drugs when they wrote this movie.
Had to have been.
So today on the show, we are covering the most interesting film ever made, entitled Mac and Me. It's a 1988 film. Directed by Stuart Rathfill. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Written by Steve Feek and Stuart Rathfill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Music by Alan Silvestri, the same guy that did the music for Back to the Future trilogy.
I was going to say, because there's some of the music sounded very similar to Back to the Future.
Yes.
And he just, like, took his score of Back to the Future and just, like, tweaked it a little bit. And
then... Honestly, the best part of the movie was the score.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, this is interesting music for this particular movie.
Yeah.
Like, I think they spent probably half the budget on the music, I'm thinking. And then the other half was just paid for by McDonald's, Coca-Cola, and Sears.
Yes.
And Dos Equis.
Lord.
So, I swear to God, there were scenes in that movie that just blatantly looked like they just had the shoehorn the product there. Like, it didn't even make sense for it to be there. Like,
anyways, initial thoughts here.
I don't know. It's just bizarre. I don't even know what to think. I mean, I watched it, maybe because I watched it twice.
Oh, okay.
And then the second time, I didn't want to watch it all the way again, so I just put it on 1.5 speed, and it was even more bizarre watching it like that. So I wanted to make sure I could, you know, kind of remember what happened. So I put it in, 1.5 speed just to get it over quicker. And that was probably a very interesting experience. You should try it. Watching it at 1.5 speed, it totally changes, like, everything about it. It's weird, but...
Doesn't make it any better.
No, it doesn't. It just makes it more like a drug trip. Like, you're...
Yeah.
Like, you have a ketamine mixed in, maybe with some stimulants, and, you know, maybe some MDMA. I don't know. I'm just
on a sesame seed bun.
It's sesame seed. Yeah, exactly. You put it in your Big Mac, and you know you'll be flying. But
yeah,
you'd be going into space where the planet where the family lives.
Yeah. So in the early 80s, there was this film you may have heard of called E.T.
It's a little film, obscure, you know. Yeah.
So my feelings on this was somebody thought, hey, remember E.T.? Let's see how we can make that worse.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. They saw the success of E.T., which came out, was it 82, 81?
Mm-hmm.
And then 6 years later, like 80, they thought
it might have been 83. I don't know, but yeah,
83. Okay.
Yeah.
So they waited 5 years then to do. Usually, when they do a movie like that, it usually comes out in the same, you know, time frame because they want to compete with the other movie. They don't wait 5 years, but
sometimes it wasn't as fast back in the '80s because you know, like now with you know, cheaper means of making a movie, it's easier to for the asylum to release the Transmorphers, like, you know.
Transmorphers.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't even mean asylum. I just mean, like, even other productions, like when you had the Sharks movie versus the Finding Nemo.
Yeah, and that does happen. Yeah. And you got, like, Deep Impact and Armageddon and
stuff
like that. But, yeah, it just seems like, I don't know, like, I don't think anybody wanted to touch E.T. for a bit because that was like such an original movie at the time.
Yeah.
That.
I mean, God, like comparing that to this is just wild. Like, and.
Yeah. I mean, just up front, some little trivia here about this movie. It was nominated for 4 Golden Raspberry Awards.
Oh, wow.
It won Worst Director and Worst New Star for Ronald McDonald. He's in one scene in the movie.
He was only in one scene, yeah.
But it did receive 4 Youth and Film Awards, now the Young Artist Award, nominations. While regarded as one of the worst films ever made, it did become a cult hit, and a clip of that is always used on when Paul Rudd does interviews with Conan O'Brien. He tends to show this clip of our star Eric falling down into water off of a cliff.
In his wheelchair.
In his wheelchair, yes.
And then Max shows up looking all concerned.
Yeah.
But Max saves him, by the way. They don't show that. They don't show that clip where right afterwards Max saves him.
It's because Paul Rudd doesn't like aliens. He has this.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think he's an alien phobe.
Yeah, he is. That's why, you know, he's so weird to like Rocket in the Avengers movies.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
He's an ET phobe. Yeah, and you know that's what they got the ET. You had ET and the hate crime. It's got, you know, you slip T and E. I don't know, and then I was trying to come up with something that didn't work, but
it's okay.
I was trying to, and it just wasn't, wasn't coming out. But, but man, yeah, what a bizarre film. I don't even know what to say about it. Just, it's something. It's a movie. That's for sure.
Okay. So I will admit that, back when I was in grade school, we had this, towards the end of the year, they would wheel in the TV into the classroom and show us movies. And 1 year, this was the movie they showed us. Man, I clearly remember that. And then I rented it from the video store a few times after that. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie when I was, 10, 11, whatever. So, it's like 12, somewhere around there, yeah, but not so much at, as an adult.
Yeah. Yep.
So what happens in this lovely piece of art?
So as a family of aliens that live on a barren planet, seems like they're the only ones alive because I haven't seen anyone else. And they're looking for water and
Right. I'm assuming it's actually Coca-Cola that's underneath the.
well, it could be Coca-Cola on a different planet, yes.
Yes.
And so the dad, I think, is looking for Coca-Cola. And right off the bat, I'm like, I don't think this is a very good father figure because at first I'm thinking like, oh, cool, he found water and he's gonna tell the family. No, he just drinks all the water for himself. And he comes back into the family in one of those not drones, what are they called?
It's like a like some kind of rover or something, like a
Yeah.
like a, from NASA. Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting, 1988, because I didn't know they even had those back then. But
Yeah, and it's going to some kind of alien planet too, so it's like, yeah.
So yeah, some distant planet that no one they never said what it was or which
I mean, we
planet
just
and
had the
all that.
Challenger explosion and now we're going to some distant planet shortly after that.
Yeah, we're going to be using a rover to pick up a rock sample or something, and then they keep giving it more and more samples because they're interested in like what this machine does and stuff like that. And for some reason, which they didn't even explain up until this point, is that their bodies are like really like malleable and can like it's like go into different shapes. So
Yeah,
the
they're like
vacuum,
silly putty or something.
something like that. So the vacuum ends up sucking up the entire family, and then when they take it back to the plant or the lab or whatever, the machine's like all fritzing out and shit because there's like a family of aliens inside of it, and then they eventually shoot out.
That's always the, like when you call up IT. They ask you to
Yeah.
turn on and off the, the computer or whatever. The third thing they ask you is there an alien family inside the device?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They didn't check that part. And
No.
so the machine exploded, and I was worried that like everybody else was gonna like die except for Mac. But no, the family just gets separated, and then Mac, he ends up running away and finds himself in like a Jeep kind of vehicle. Not really a Jeep, but one of those kind of vehicles, and to a family that's moving into like a new home in
Yeah, be before
California.
that, in the accident, we did have a scene there with Danny Cooksey, as a
Oh.
little kid, and he's a Facebook friend of mine, so I'm just bringing him up.
Okay.
he was on Salute Your Shorts and other things, so yeah, he's a good guy. He was in. He was the guy that didn't tell the cops where John Connor was in Terminator 2.
Oh, nice.
So he's a good guy.
I love I love that. I love the meme where it says like this kid saved the whole world by not ratting out to the cops. I love that, so Mac, this is where we get our first product placement, I think, is Mac instinctively goes for Coca-Cola, which is not explained whatsoever why this particular alien breed just instinctively knows what Coca-Cola is and wants to drink it, considering that they live on a different planet. So I'm not even sure why chemicals and food stuff on this planet would even be able to like be digested with their organs on a different planet. I mean, I'll be worried that it would actually kill or poison Mac because the food that they're used to. I mean, so I imagine if we went to another planet and there happened to be life on it, and we just go grab something to eat from there. Well, like, who's to say that our stomachs would be able to even digest that food without
I'm
killing us?
pretty
Whatever.
sure that underground on all planets in space, there's a McDonald's and a
Oh,
Coca-Cola
okay.
plant. Yeah.
And they gotta make sure they have the Big Mac and
And they maybe have a Sears there. Maybe that's where they buy their clothes. Oh, wait, they didn't wear any. So.
And yeah, so Mac drinks the kid's Coke, and then his whole argument about, his older brother drank it. I didn't drink it, blah, 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 whatever, that whole thing.
Yeah.
So what else happens?
So, anyways, they end up getting to their house because they're moving from Chicago to Los Angeles, somewhere near, I don't know, I'm assuming Los Angeles is somewhere in California. They, you know, Eric uses a wheelchair, and so we got Eric and we got Michael and their mom, played by Christine Ebersole, the mom. Eric is played by Jade Caligari, and Jonathan Ward plays Michael. Just giving them credit.
Well, yeah,
because I'm sure they want it.
Well, I mean, even it's like, you know, if you're in a movie, even if it was like really bad, but it was like in theaters and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah, I mean, Christine Ebersole was a cast member of SNL. So
right. I mean, I would like credit, even if the movie was not good, the fact that I was in a movie that was like released and, you know, theaters worldwide, you know, so it's, that's nice of you to give them to credit. I mean, I doubt that they'll listen to this, but it's nice of you to, you know.
I'm sure that Christine Ebersole listens to every episode of our show.
Well, she might. I mean,
I don't know. Maybe she does.
But when they, but I got one comment though before you
get
to stick it, because it, when I first saw it, I was like, oh my God. Like, so the whole thing is like, so they moved to California and immediately they go into the whole like, oh, California is a weird state to live in, bro. Look at all these hippies or whatever. Cause like their next door neighbor is like underneath a tent and is like I'm trying to talk to the earth spirit or whatever.
I'm like a teepee actually. So
was that what it was? Yeah. Oh, okay. And then he's like, the older brother's like, California. I'm like, oh my God. Like, really? And then, like, yes, the moment you step foot in California, like the second you get from the border from wherever state you are into California, you're going to see a bunch of white kids pretending to be Native Americans sitting next to teepees and talking about the earth spirits. Really? Come on. And, but
when I went to California, that's all I saw.
Yeah, well, you know,
every corner there was some little girl in a teepee.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sure.
Yes. Even on Hollywood Boulevard, there's just little girls in teepees all over up and down Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah. You go to In-N-Out Burger and they're there, and it's like, God, I'm just trying to get a Big Mac here. You know?
Not a Big Mac because you can't get that.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You could ask for the Mac and Me burger and they'll know what to give you, but
it's alien on a bun. Anyway, so no sesame seeds though.
No.
That ruins the taste.
Yeah, though.
Yeah, alien meat doesn't taste good with sesame seeds.
No.
So they're moving in. The mom is almost abusive to the guys moving in her stuff at one point, and
you already get an indication about the how this woman treats the help.
Yeah,
you know.
So, shortly after the move, Eric thinks that there's like an alien presence already or something, even though he hasn't seen the thing.
Like, really?
It's doing this weird thing where it's controlling. Without a battery in it, it's controlling his RC car, and he doesn't have his TV plugged in, and it still turns on, and it's got the Snorks on it. Anyway, so the Snorks, which was like an underwater Smurfs ripoff, that we used to be on Saturday mornings. He also has this, just letting you know, in the scene when he's moving in, he has this really huge Chicago Cubs teddy bear that's like 4 foot tall. It comes in play later in the movie.
Yes, it does.
So, eventually, after falling off a cliff and Max saving him, he sees the alien, which he refers to as Mac, which means what does it mean?
Mysterious alien creature.
Yes, that's it.
And, Yeah.
Because they couldn't use extraterrestrial or alien life form because those have already been taken by E.T. and ELF. And,
right. And they figured, oh, since McDonald's sponsored this and gave half our budget, we'll call them Mac because they got a Big Mac at McDonald's.
Yes.
And then that will sort of like subliminally make you want to have a... God damn it. Now I want a Big Mac. I don't even like Big Macs. But
yeah. I know, want one and I've never even had one. So
they're not great. No. Yeah, they're not good.
They always look bad to me, so I've never eaten one in my life. So
I mean, just my opinion, they're not that good. I don't know. Like if you want a burger with three buns, your best bet is getting yourself a Big Boy at Frisch's or Big Boy.
Yeah.
You know? If you want that three bun burger and you want that special sauce, way better than the shitty ass Thousand Island.
Probably
crap
even better if you just make one yourself at home.
Well, you can make one, sure, but yeah.
So anyways, so Eric tries to catch the alien having, you know, issues. He can't do that. He nearly drowns and the alien saves him. Nobody believes him about it except for the little girl next door and eventually his brother. Because later that night, he sets a trap to get his new friend, and Debbie, his little friend from next door, the cultural appropriating little girl.
I mean, she's like seven. Okay, I think we should give her a break. Okay. You know, she didn't know that it was wrong to do that in 1988. So
okay.
You yeah. know,
I'm sure adults didn't either. Anyway, so
well, sure, true, yeah. If you had any inkling whatsoever, like, yeah, this kind of looks wrong. I don't know.
So they end up trapping Mac inside of a vacuum cleaner because that's the best way to treat a visitor to your house. I trap all my friends in vacuum cleaners.
I don't know why they did. Yeah, whatever. And maybe the vacuum cleaner was another product placement, you know.
Yeah,
that particular brand, you know, whatever.
But they, after the alien's released, Michael sees it and he believes, you know, that there is an alien. But the alien leaves before the mom can be convinced of it. Wow, this movie.
He left because there was like seven cop. Well, did they explain why there were so many cop cars? Were they looking for the alien?
The electricity went out, so something was going on with that. But this guy that was looking for the alien on the highway towards the beginning of the movie, he was there, and Michael notices him. So you know, he's like, "Why is the dude from the highway here?" You know,
Does that guy just follow every single cop car in a city to see if, like, an alien's there? Like,
I don't know.
This is how he finds them. Every time there's a cop car, it's like, oh, they must be looking for the alien like I am, so I'm just going to follow them?
Oh, no, they're just arresting some hookers on the side of the road. Oh.
Yeah, well, maybe they have access to the alien. I don't know, maybe Mac is experimenting way too young of an age, and that's problematic in many ways, but, and, you know...
He does get the solar system discount, you know, or whatever. So it's
I don't know, but God, I have no idea what I'm saying.
Yeah, me either. So, anyways, I don't know. I'm trying to remember what happens next here. Earlier in the movie, at one point, Mac decorated their house with like trees and rocks and shit all over him.
Oh yeah, I was like, what was that? It was like a garden kind of.
Yeah, like I think he was trying to recreate his planet or something. And anyways, later on, he cleans it all up and repairs the door, repairs the walls, everything. You know, he's like, you know, I think Max got a, you know, good chance of being on like HGTV or something.
Oh yeah, like her interior designer or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, you know, I think that'd be a good show, you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sure.
Get on that, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. Call it Mac Attacks Your House or something. Yeah. Anyway, so the
your house, yeah.
They end up going to the little girl Debbie next door invited randomly. It was funny too. She's like, do you want to come to my friend's birthday party? And he says yeah. She gave no details about it.
Like nope.
When and where it was.
And she's like, all right, see ya. Like, okay.
So it turns out that it's going to be at McDonald's.
Oh. And yeah, her sister just happens to work at McDonald's.
Yes.
And then she's also wearing her uniform.
Yeah.
Multiple occasions throughout the movie for some reason, even when she's not working.
And of course, you know, Michael likes the sister because she's like,
well, yeah, because, you know,
and stuff. Yeah.
You know, he's like, you didn't tell me she had an older sister, bro, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, was like I didn't to? Think I had to. It's like, what's the requirement that I tell you everything about my new friend and her family? Shut
she
the
has
fuck
a
up,
mom, but... too. You didn't ask about her.
Yeah, why don't we just give her her whole life story, dude? Like,
she also likes to culturally appropriate Native Americans here, too. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you know, apparently the mother thinks that's fine to reprimand. They're like, hey, maybe don't sit out next to a fucking teepee across the street.
Yeah.
Talk about the goddamn earth spirit. The hell's the matter with you? But...
So anyways, they go to this birthday party in the most 80s scene in a movie ever.
Yeah.
It was like the 1980s just threw up on this McDonald's. It was like...
Yeah, there's a random... Even before they got in, there's a random breakdance scene.
Yeah.
Like, it was just there, like, for no reason other... They'd be like, oh, it's the 80s, and breakdance seems cool, right? So we'll just put that in a movie,
yep.
And people mm-hmm. will want to watch it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
that's not what happened, but...
Because, I mean, every time I went to McDonald's in the 80s, there were dudes breakdancing in the parking lot.
Sure.
And then I did go to some birthday parties at McDonald's when I was a kid. And never once was there a dance off.
To be fair, when Kid Rock was younger, they actually did have a breakdancing competition in a Burger King.
Oh, okay.
And when he was like 12 or 13, mm-hmm. and then he participated. I don't know if he won. This is when he wanted to culturally appropriate black people, and then before he decided to run against, you know, hating them as part of his political identity.
Before he decided to appropriate rednecks.
That's when he could use their culture for his advantage. Okay. And then after, you know, he was done with them, he's like, yeah, fuck you guys. Now I'm going to support politics that, you know, actively oppresses you. But anyway, and all the while pretending that I'm some poor redneck, even though I grew up in like a fucking mansion, but with like, whatever. Yeah. But so it does happen. Like, I mean, I guess during the 80s, apparently that was kind of a thing.
Okay.
I guess. But that was a competition that wasn't just randomly people doing it. So,
but they did say something that there was a dance. I heard an announcement for the dance competition. So,
all right. Oh, by the way, I shouldn't have mentioned that because according to some people that, you know, we're not allowed to talk about life and other things in all, you know, that doesn't have directly to do with the movie. We're not allowed to go off.
It's okay. So, fuck them.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, so,
sorry, I apologize.
Yeah, I don't care. We can talk about everything because you know what?
I just mean, yeah.
Guess whose podcast this is?
Yeah, it's our fucking podcast. We can do what we want here.
So the they're having this weird party. First off, he got a ride to the party from Debbie and her mom. And he brings
her mom is so like
dumb,
rough, or I don't know, like not mean, but just like I don't know, because like when he's like getting to the car, She's talking about the wheelchair. She's like, how do I do this? I'm like, Jesus. Like, can you be a little bit nicer?
Yeah.
Like,
how do I do this? God damn it.
It's like, wow.
Thought she should have had like a cigar in her mouth and be like, hey, kid, what do I do here?
I know. Someone wrote a comment, I think it was on Reddit. So I was doing research on the film. If you call it a film. Yeah. I guess technically it was on film. But
the 90-minute commercial.
Yeah, the 90-minute commercial. And then someone wrote, he's like, you know, as a disabled person, it was nice to finally have a movie with a disabled person where the movie wasn't about the fact that he's in a wheelchair, but did it have to be this movie?
Yes, exactly.
It's like... Yeah.
I mean, the Jade Calgary, he was like this, like, representative of for spina bifida and stuff like that in the 80s. He like did a lot of charity work and stuff after he got cast in this movie, and he was on General Hospital for a little bit too, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. Anyways. Eric brings Mac with him because they don't want to leave Mac alone at the house because the FBI is looking for him or whatever.
Seemed like scared the fuck out of me.
Yeah. And so why he's taking a little bit of time to get into the car that boggles the mind of Debbie's mom. I guess he's taking all of the stuffing out of his teddy bear and turning it into a 4-foot teddy bear costume that he can put Mac inside.
The Mac bear.
Yeah. They don't show this scene when he does it. I thought that would have been an interesting scene to see him putting Mac inside the bear.
Yeah, that would have been cool, but no, they didn't bother with that. No. So
we're stuck in the car with Debbie and her mom. And
the whole time, yeah.
I'm
just watching them in real time talking in the car. It's like, okay. Like, we don't need that.
Yeah, I mean, there's like so many scenes in this movie that just like go on way too long. But anyways, he brings the bear in, and she asks him how long he's had the bear, and he says forever. And then it was like, it starts moving. It's like, is that moving? And it's like, yeah, it's one of those new mechanical bears. It's like, I thought you said you had it forever. And he says, oh, yeah, but we just put new microchips in him.
She's right, microchips. Like, what?
What does that mean?
And then, like, Debbie's just like, she's like, oh, cool. Like, has no idea.
Yeah,
he's just lying to her or some shit. But
oh no, Debbie knew it was Mac. So,
oh, I'm sorry. I meant
Debbie's mom.
Debbie. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's like, okay, cool. You know, this is like Teddy Ruxpin, but
yeah, because she made another comment too before that. It's like, isn't he a little old for a teddy? It's like, she's just so full of judgment.
I know.
And then another weird thing about the whole like weird ideas about other states, I guess it was kind of funny, like, oh, California, she's a hippie pretending to be a Native American and culturally appropriating him. So then, like, they had to like do it the other way, where she's like, Debbie's like, oh, he's from Illinois. I'm like, okay, is there a cultural stereotype of kids in wheelchairs who have large teddy bears? Is that like an Illinois thing or a Chicago thing? So I've never heard that in my life. That must be a new stereotype.
All the times I was in Chicago, every kid I saw there had a teddy bear and a wheelchair.
I guess
it
so.
It was this, you know, every kid.
Yeah.
They're on and every corner.
They had microchips in it, I guess. Or, I mean, I would have settled for a battery, but why did he go straight to microchip? Like, was that another sponsor than the microchip factories or companies? Like, their whole budget just came from product placements. Like,
so anyways, they go to this party, and Ronald McDonald makes a cameo appearance that he won a Razzie for. And,
why? He wasn't even that bad in the scene. Like,
he was just playing himself.
I mean, like, he didn't do anything bad. Like, he wasn't acting stupid or whatever.
What did they expect him to get in this, like, real dramatic scene where he just acted the shit out of it and started shooting up heroin in the middle of the McDonald's or something?
the heroin experience, yeah. The heroin addict, Ronald McDonald. This is where all the charity money goes to needle in his arm. Like, you know, it's like
there's a room in the back of the Ronald McDonald house that nobody goes into.
Oh, wow.
Ronald and Grimace are back there just snorting coke and
huffing pain gasoline. And... wow.
Dark times for the Ronald. Anyway, so the...
The more interesting of that was in the movie.
But the good thing about it is they're loving it. Anyway, so... So we've got... We've got this party over with and stuff, and they leave, and anyways.
No, you forgot about the whole dancing thing with Mac dancing.
But Mac dances. Anyways, they have this big dancing thing that includes even the, like, high school football team.
And, yeah, they show up.
and then the like, FBI is there.
They got a tip on the dancing alien, and...
Yeah.
Because they all
McDonald's
knew.
McDonald's said, if you notice, the menu does not have any prices on it.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah. I think everything at that McDonald's was free.
Explains why there's so many people there.
Then. Yeah. So, I'd be dancing, too, if I can, you know, get a free Big Mac.
Or maybe
Mac,
that's
you know,
how they pay through dancing.
Yes.
I don't know.
It's like, you want some Chicken McNuggets? You're going to have to dance for them.
Yeah. You want a Big Mac? You're going to have to do, like... You got to dress up for this weird Teddy costume.
Dance on the
your
counter.
Your name's got to be Mac. And then...
Dance on the counter and you get an extra fry. Oh, my... But anyways, the cops or the FBI or whatever the fuck they are find him. And as they're dancing or whatever... Eric escapes on his wheelchair. And then these guys, the FBI, which I'm now reading, their names are Wicket and Zimmerman. Yes.
Okay.
Chase them through a nearby neighborhood while he's like he's rolling down the street in his wheelchair, and they go through like a clothesline, and Mac's got all these clothes on him and shit, like some underwear on his head and stuff. He also goes through and like destroys a Sears.
Another product place
that his mom works at.
Yeah, exactly. So you got multiple. Cuts to Sears.
Mm-hmm. And so they, Eric, Michael, Debbie, and Courtney, she's the older sister that works at McDonald's. They go off and they somehow pick up, Mac and, Eric into their van while they're rolling and the car's next to it, and they pull him into the van in something I think would be physically impossible, but
no, man, that was a good move. That, you know, that's like intuitive. They just knew at that moment to pull someone in a moving vehicle.
So they follow these directions that Mac gives them to travel to these mountains in the outskirts of town. Somewhere where inside of a cave they find Mac's family like dying. They rejuvenate them with Coca-Cola because
they didn't have their Coca-Cola, so what they get on their planet. And
last time I was at the hospital, things were getting dire. They put an IV and hooked it up to me and they filled it up with Coca-Cola. Saved my life.
Yeah, that's the other thing too we forgot to mention. This whole time Mac and his family are like communicating with each other with these weird whistling stuff.
Yeah,
and
those scenes are like a fourth of the fucking movie.
And so Mac
was
trying to tell them, like, he showed pictures of horses and things like that to find out, like, where Because apparently they went back into the desert, because I guess that's what they're used to.
Yeah.
Where they don't have water, and but they need water, and so they went to a place where they know they wouldn't have water, instead of looking for a place that did have water. Not exactly sure.
Well, not water, but Coca-Cola.
Well, Coca-Cola, yeah, but I'm not sure what they're planning, thinking of was in that regard. Like, oh, let's go to the place that's familiar, and that's the place where we don't have the resources we need.
Well, they probably didn't know.
Well, whatever. I'm just making fun of them. But I know. And but yeah, they saved them with the coke, not cocaine. Although maybe it was laced with cocaine.
But the writers had to have been on some. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, but, I'm pretty sure. So,
anyways, they rejuvenate them with the Coca-Cola, and then the group stops at a gas station, and they go into a nearby supermarket. But while they're at the gas station, the family like freaks out and grabs a Sprite, not a Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola product, but a Sprite from this girl that's sitting in this car by herself while her friend went in to buy some Coke or something.
Some Dosaki and some Coke
and a chain of Sears superstores or something. They climb out of the minivan and go into the supermarket, causing a panic in the supermarket as they try to get Coke in there. It's funny, I did see like Pepsi logos in the background, and I was like, "Whoa, that's weird." In the grocery store.
Yeah.
So the restless aliens climb out of the minivan. They go in there. The Mac's father steals a gun from a security guard. And then the police show up, like, right away. Because that's
how
fast...
They're on standby, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And,
this scene is so ridiculous. Sorry, go ahead.
There's, like, a shootout with the... with the aliens?
I guess.
I keep telling them to, like, put down the code.
Michael's telling the cops not to shoot because the aliens are harmless, even though the dad's got a gun in his hand.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Get out of the way, boy." And he's like, "No, they're not going to hurt you." And then there's a huge explosion.
Yeah.
That blows up the entire store.
You know, it blows up the entire store somehow. No explanation as to how it started either.
No. And then, what's his name? The kid in the wheelchair, guy's name.
Yeah. Eric.
Eric is sitting in the middle of the parking lot. Dirty explosion.
And then the explosion knocks him out and kills him.
It's like the most dramatic scene in the whole movie all of a sudden. Like, what the hell?
So in the original cut of the movie, he didn't get killed by the explosion. The father accidentally shot him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Suddenly the movie became a drama in the last 15 minutes. Yes. And
and so basically the kid's dying, and then their mom arrives by helicopter with the help of Wicket and Zimmerman. I don't know why, but those names are just weird to me. Just together, not separately, they wouldn't be, I don't think. But So she's there to, you know, hold her dead kid in her arms. The thing I found weird is when he did die, Courtney or whatever her name is, the older sister, she was more upset about him dying than Michael was.
I know. She known him for like one day.
Yeah, she knew him for like a half a day or a day and a half, and it's just like, she's like crying, like, you know, I mean, I know it's sad, but it's just like,
that's the other thing. This whole movie takes place in a span of like 2 days.
Yeah.
And they all like develop this huge friendship with each other.
Uh-huh.
Like during this time.
Yeah. Well, it happens sometimes, but still, the aliens come and do some weird shit with their hands and create this light that saves him. Which is kind of creep, kind of weird in the original one because the dad shot him and then he goes and saves him. Like, it's like, yeah.
If this whole time they've been able to heal wounds, then why couldn't they just do that to each other when they were like dehydrated without the Coca-Cola and on their planet?
Well, maybe they don't have that power until they drink Coca-Cola.
Oh, or maybe it's like a Superman, Supergirl type situation where it only works on a different planet.
Yeah.
Where they've got special strength, but then on their own planet, they don't have special strength. Like, yeah, for example, in this movie, like they could just like move doors just from touching it, like, and just knock them down completely or break the glass of a window just by touching it, you know? So maybe they're going for that kind of thing.
And so when this movie, which was already weird to begin with, comes to the next scene. I'm assuming for saving Eric's life, the United States government grants them American citizenship. The whole alien family is sworn in.
The fastest track to citizenship that's ever been in American history.
Yes.
It's been like 3 days. They're like, you're it, you're citizens. Go on, do what you want.
Yes. And so then the family, the family drives off into a in a Cadillac, and I'm gonna mention the fact that the family and Eric and Michael and stuff are in the car, and I'm gonna mention the fact that the dad is driving a fucking car.
Mm-hmm.
This alien.
Yep. He knows how to drive it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know when they learned it. And then Mac blows a bubble of gum, and then it comes up in an animated form on the screen and says, "We'll be back," because they were hoping for sequels.
Yeah.
Obviously, nope. There were no sequels.
There was, no back. Sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was that movie.
Yeah, that was it. That was a movie.
Or a commercial.
I just thought that they had the gall to actually think that they would make a sequel.
Yeah.
Like, they edited that movie. They had the final product. They did, like, maybe some trials where they people here and there, like, theaters. And they're like, yep, nailed it. We're definitely going to get a sequel out of this. Like, wow, like, that takes some balls, like, you know, or some ovaries. You know, to wow, you got some confidence there, man. Like, where you're like, oh yeah, we nailed it. A great special effects team, great product placement. Who knows? Maybe Coca-Cola would give us upfront money for the second movie, and then I don't know, because there was like some betrayal there with the Pepsi products in the background. Maybe they're getting some back end sponsorship. Pepsi. I don't think Coca-Cola is gonna take too kindly to that, but.
Or they just couldn't cover them up. They forgot to cover them up in the back of the grocery store that they were filming in.
I mean, that is possible, but I like my theory better because it's funny. It's more conspiratorial. But, I mean, goddamn. Like, and also, too, so the sequel was going to be a more dramatic movie where it was going to be more about the prejudice that the aliens face from the human community.
Yes.
And then also to be make things more nuanced, that there a lot of the prejudice was actually coming from minority communities as opposed to white people. And the reason why is because it's like, oh, like they get citizenship after being here for 3 days and drinking all of our Coca-Cola. But like, you know, everyone else, you know, like if we're Mexican or from Africa, we gotta go through like this huge thing, you know. So it's like it's prejudice, but it's like deeper prejudice, because like, whoa, it's actually like the Mexicans and the black people don't like the aliens, but the white people are like, eh, whatever, you know. So it's like, yeah, it's whatever, because you're privileged pieces of shit who doesn't affect you in any way. And then you get to, you know, stick your nose up to like, oh, these minorities, they're so prejudiced, we're so superior to them. It's like, you know, fuck you. And that would be the second movie. And then
and then the dad replaces Tucker Carlson on Fox News.
Yeah. Yes. It's Macker or Carlson, I don't know. And then
So do you want to hear some little bit of trivia from this movie?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, here's a few things that I found on the Internet Movie Database. The McDonald's scenes were all shot in City of Industry, California, just outside of Los Angeles. The set was a real McDonald's built specifically for crew member training and television commercials. So that probably explains why there was no prices on the menu.
And why they had the breakdancing, because during training they have breakdancing back then. So
yes, McDonald's employee needed to know how to breakdance.
They needed to know how to breakdance to make minimum wage. Yes.
Yes.
And it was...
So everything inside of this McDonald's worked, but it never served a real customer when it wasn't being used. It was locked up behind a chain link fence. So it was torn down and rebuilt in 2006, probably with a new McDonald's design.
Yeah.
Part of the film's box office intake was donated to the Ronald McDonald House Charities.
Okay. So like all $8,000 it made was going, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
It made more than 8,000. It made 6 million out of a 13 million budget. So,
yeah.
Yep.
So,
less than half.
Kim Basinger and Angelica Houston were both offered the female lead of the mom, but declined.
That was a good choice, I think.
Yeah. I think both of them are like, at least been nominated for Academy Awards, if not won. So it's like...
Although, I think the mom character was pretty...
I mean, she was a good actress, but I'm like,
she was given, yeah.
When Steven Spielberg was once asked if he was ever tempted to take legal action against the filmmakers for copying the story of his beloved film, E.T., he jokingly said he didn't want to get blamed for making anybody else watch it and... watch it in order to make comparisons. Yeah.
Wow.
So this was actually, this movie was Jennifer Aniston's film debut. As an uncredited extra sitting on a curb watching the dancers in the McDonald's parking lot.
Wow. So this is before the Ferris TV show.
Yeah. And before like
Leprechaun
and stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, the film debut of Nikki Cox, who is a pretty well-known actress, as an uncredited extra during the birthday party scene at McDonald's. She's a little redheaded girl wearing a yellow shirt and white shorts.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. So we got a lot of people. They got their start in Mac and Me.
Yes.
Nice.
So, yeah, those are just some of the ones I felt like talking about there. Any other thoughts here on this cinematic masterpiece?
Sure. I mean, that just proves that there is no role that's too small that, it's too good for someone to have, because a movie that made $6 million worldwide, let that sink in, worldwide, and it spawns the career of Jennifer Aniston, one of the most successful actresses of all time in American history. So, that's right there. If you get a role for something, you want to be an actor, you want to be a musician, you're like, too good for this. No, you never know. You might be the next Jennifer Aniston. Being an extra in a movie about an alien who's dancing in a weird teddy bear costume that's got microchips in it. That's the other thing right there. I got one more thought about this. So I think this is also was part of the conspiracy. So you know the predictive programming conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
And the reason why Eric mentioned microchips is because he was trying to plant, if you will, the idea of like, microchips are normal to have inside of teddy bears. But we all know that Mac is inside the teddy bear, not in a weird way, but, he's in the suit. And then so it's like, it's okay to microchip an alien / teddy bear. And then from there it goes to, what if we just microchip human beings? David Icke's been talking about this for years. I'm not sure if he watched Mac and Me, but if he did, he'd probably write about it in one of his 74 books that are 1,000 pages.
He has a tattoo of Mac on his back.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't know, but I wouldn't doubt it, but
yeah, last time,
see, he was
wrong
about
the
reptilian.
Last time he and I were hanging out at the beach, I saw it. It was, yeah.
You were hanging out with David Icke, damn it. I've always wanted to hang out with him. He always says no.
Yeah,
whatever.
Well, he says you can come as long as you don't bring your friend Sesame.
Yeah, I think it's, he got mad because I'm skeptical of reptilian theories. I don't think reptilian shapeshifters run the world. I think it's the cousin race of Mac and his family are the ones that control them.
Yes.
Like Mac and his family, their clan are like the, you know, they're good people, but the other clan is more militant, more like militaristic imperialist, and so like that's the reason why they were on the planet all barren, because they got exiled for not wanting to conquer Earth. They're like, oh, well, if you don't agree to our plans, then we're just going to send you to, like, a barren part of the planet. Good luck finding any kind of Coca-Cola inside of rocks, because, you know, we took it all for ourselves. And
But they showed,
so
them,
I think,
they showed them and became American citizens.
Yeah. So that's who really controls the world via microchips through a global computer and teddy bear costumes that you take the stuffing out of and then put the small alien boy to then do break dancing on top of a McDonald's counter that actually doesn't serve as a real McDonald's.
Yes.
And you got to eat Big Mac once a day.
Uh-huh.
Like that one dude, what was his name? Something William or Wooly or something, the dude who believed that in order to go to the fifth dimension, you had to eat a quarter pounder with cheese and a Diet Coke every single day. And the reason why, it had to be a Diet Coke, not regular Coke, was not, it had nothing to do with too much sugar. It was that the chemicals in the Diet Coke mixed with the chemicals and ingredients of the double quarter pounder with cheese somehow did some concoction within your body. That, no, I'm serious. I'm not even making this up. No.
Now, I'd heard about this guy that ate them every day. I didn't know why. So, yeah.
No, this dude, I'm not making this up. You can't make this up. This dude lived, he rented a room in the garage of a house of an Elvis impersonator. I'm not even making this up.
Wow.
Literally. And then he his career, if you will, is a website where he claimed that he could, there was like a portal somewhere in like Arizona or like Nevada, and you would go to the fifth dimension, and then, but you need to eat quarter pounder with cheese and Diet Coke every single day for like, I don't know, a few months.
Oh, okay.
That was all you could eat, though. You couldn't eat anything else.
Yeah, no, what I was thinking of was actually a different guy who actually, for like 50 some years, every day he ate a Big Mac.
Oh, no, that guy's different.
Yeah.
He's
I was
part
thinking
of
somebody else.
Conspiracy.
Yeah.
No, no. He controls a part of the world, just like some of the island states and things like that. He's not a big player. And, you know, he plays a bit part, you know, in the global hamburger conspiracy, hamburglar, if you will, conspiracy. And no, this dude, his name was Wiley, I don't know, Wiley something. And there's a whole documentary about him. It's amazing. I don't mean to rant too much about it, but like just a short thing. So he became one of the first, quote, breatharians. These people who believe that you don't actually need to eat food, as long as you like master certain breathing techniques, that you can get all the nutrients you need just from meditation.
Wiley Brooks.
Yeah, Wiley Brooks. There we go. Yeah.
and
he had like a little moment of fame before that where he lifted a bunch of weights despite being like super skinny. And it was like, it was on a TV show called like That's Incredible or something like
that.
And then after that, he became a breatharian, and he was one of the first ones to bring this into, you know, public consciousness. So you got to give him credit for that. He was really, you know, ahead of the times and that. But then he was caught buying a bunch of junk food from a gas station and room service at his hotel, eating hamburgers. And they're like, hey, oh, Mr. So-and-so doesn't need to eat food, but yet we saw him buying like Twinkies and Ho-Hos from the gas station. So then he changed his ideology to, oh, see, people can choose to eat food, we just don't have to. And then his philosophy evolved from that to, human being. I'm not drinking Coke right now, so I'm getting a sore throat. I'm getting my Coke withdrawals here.
Don't die on it.
And so he changed his philosophy to all humanity are actually descendants of fifth dimensional beings from different parts of the universe, where we just lived like basically as like invisible and formless beings. But then in order to like have a vacation, what our ancestors would do, is that we would basically go into a physical form and like basically experience like the fleshly pleasures of life, be that, you know, food, sex, you know, what have you. And that was like a vacation, basically, because they were doing their own 5D stuff. Arranging planets. I'm not sure. And then, as all good things happen, people get used to the, luxuries of life. So again, I'm not making this up. He literally says this in his books or whatnot, website. And we kept doing this too many times. We eventually got locked into the three-dimensional and our physical bodies. And now we can't get back to the fifth dimension, except through his learning that if you eat double quarter pounder or quarter pounder with, it's got to be with cheese, though. Can't be without cheese. Got to be with cheese. That's an important aspect of the diet. And Diet Coke. And then somehow that will then create this weird thing in your body where you're susceptible to being able to go into the fifth dimension, and there's a portal and somewhere in Nevada, or Heker, Nevada, depending on how you pronounce it. And then he'll take you to this portal. I think he died, by the way, so I should be saying past tense. He did pass away a few years ago. But you like had to buy, you had to like pay him like $1 billion. And he's like, I know it sounds like a lot of money, but I'll actually show you how it works. And then he gives you a mantra. I don't know if it's from Hinduism or just something that he made up. And then you got to repeat this mantra. Again, I'm not making any of this up. This is straight from memory here. And then you repeat this mantra a certain number of times a day. And eventually you're going to manifest all this money. And so it's not that he needs the money or need the money. He just did that so you could prove to yourself that, you know, if you do the mantra, you can come into a whole bunch of money, and then that can prove to yourself that, I can actually create my own reality. I am a 5D spiritual being. And this was sort of just like a training wheel exercise to get me used to the idea that I can manifest anything I want. And since most people are accustomed to liking money and to thinking that like having a lot of money sort of like proves that they're like a good person or whatever, this then psychologically will allow them to jump, you know, into the portal, metaphorically, this portal, into the real portal, which then he'll show you in Nevada. And then right before, you know, he'll show you, oh yeah, the portal's right there. And then he'll shoot you in the head, you know, when your back's turned to him. And then he'll steal all the money that you earned from the mantra that he gave you. And then that way he didn't need to live in the garage of Elvis impersonator. It was all scammed. And it worked brilliantly, but...
Well, I think that would make a better movie than Mac and Me.
Yeah. Everything I said, by the way, is true besides him shooting the guy in the back.
Yes.
This is literally what he thought.
Make a better movie than Mac and Me.
Oh, I mean, I would hope they would make a movie. Like, oh my God, can you imagine that? Where, like, instead of an Elvis impersonator, let's say it's like, you know, David Lee Roth impersonator, and this guy's living in his garage, and he just gets this idea one day to start a website. He's like... What if I like said that like we're all five dimensional beings, and then like, you know, in the background you can hear like the guy singing like, you know, Chay or whatever, you know, I don't know the lyrics of Van Halen, but like, you know, or Jamie's crying, and he's sitting there like, you know, typing on his little computer or whatever. He's like, can you knock it off there? I'm trying to do my website. And then, like, he's like, hey, whose house do you live in? May I remind you? And he's like, ah, damn it. You know, I don't know. And then we'll work on it. But
okay. Well, anyways.
Yeah.
We should probably wrap things up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, folks, for listening. If you want to find out any more information about our show, check out all2real2.com. Also, check out all of our social media websites, you can link to that in there. Check out our TeePublic, our Patreon, any other ways you want to help us. You can, if you want to help us, go ahead and share the show. On
buy
any
some
kind
microchips.
Of social media. Yeah, buy some All Too Real 2 microchips and teddy bears. And make sure you're drinking your Coke and eating your Big Macs and
yep.
shopping at Sears.
Well, Sears, yeah, no,
yeah, you
no
can't
longer.
Really do that. But
yeah.
do find a way to do it, man. Anyway, so.
And while you're at it, somehow find a way to reopen Hills Mall. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And
yep.
until next time, folks, remember that I love you and Sesame loves you. And bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.